Hello there and welcome to another episode of Not Your Average Globetrotter on another Friday night. I'm Rafael Di Furia, back at it again this week. I wanted to talk a little bit about some of the stuff I've been going through recently. Part of my move to Portugal has involved with getting things set up. And because I work remotely and have various activities going on professionally, I had to get things set up here so that I can legally earn money. And when looking at Portugal, one of the first things that really attracts people to moving here is the NHR tax status and program, whatever you're going to call it. But NHR isn't for everybody. And there may be other alternatives that you might want to consider. And that's what this episode is about. It's not how to get, how to do. I will be covering how I've gone through part of the process for getting myself set up here. But I just wanted to go into some of what I haven't seen in some of the videos online on YouTube about what people have actually experienced going through this process of getting set up here in Portugal. But just before we get into the rest of this episode, if you would like to see more content like this, be sure that you are subscribed to this channel. And if you could also give this video a like and share it with your friends, that would be very greatly appreciated because it really does help the channel. And of course, the absolute biggest thank you to those of you who help to make content like this possible on a monthly basis through Patreon, patreon.com/RafaelDiFuria. Also, a huge thank you to those of you who've bought the shirts, mugs, onesies, and have made the one-time donations. Thank you also very, very much. But I think it's about time that we get started with this episode. So roll that intro. This is not tax or financial advice. I'm just a dude with a microphone and a camera talking on the internet. So make sure you do your own research and speak to the professionals who can give you the proper information for your particular situation. So the NHR, non-habitual residence. I found this term to be actually a little misleading as to what it is. I ended up speaking to, I don't remember how many accountants it was in the end. I think I quoted a number in a previous episode, and I think that was actually only a small portion of how many I properly contacted and went through and spoke to see what we could make happen, because I got a lot of bad information and a lot of good information. The reason why I had contacted these accountants was because I wanted to find somebody who I could work with. And it's important that you speak to an accountant so that they can understand what's going on. What do you do? How do you do? How can they best help you to legally earn as much as possible and not have to give up more than what is absolutely necessary? Of course, it's great to give in and to be a productive member of society, but there also has to be a balance and that you're not going overboard. And this is where I found myself with the NHR. Don't quote on any of these numbers, but this is just rough numbers and ideas and rough concepts. This is not the end-all be-all for information regarding the specifics of what these things are. But the NHR, it's great if you qualify under certain circumstances to fit within the 20% scheme that has your max cap for taxes for, what is it, 9 or 10 years, whatever it is. But again, you have to fit within a certain activity category that can really define whether you are eligible or not to be a part of this. I was under the impression that I thought I could. And all of the accountants that I spoke to seemed to have a different opinion that it wasn't possible. Like I said, I think some of the accountants that I spoke with really didn't know what they were talking about, but I did speak with some who clearly did know. And that's actually kind of what led me in the direction that I went in the end, because I did not go for the NHR. I, in the end, decided to form a company. That was, for me, the best option. With the NHR, what the consensus seemed to be was that I would end up paying, between taxes, social contributions, and whatever else, somewhere around 60% per year. So that, for me, to live on only 40% of what I make, I would say that would be a bit tricky. That would present some challenges throughout the year. So even though with NHR, theoretically, a person could be paying that max cap of 20%, if they don't fit within those fields, then there's a progressive tax rate that jumps up, and it got absolutely ridiculous. So I said, you know, not interested. There was one accounting firm that I spoke with, And I said, hey, so I'm really interested in information comparing the NHR, getting that figured out, versus what it is like to open up a company. They immediately came back with, oh, well, if you're interested in that information and blah, 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 then we're going to have 300 euros per hour for consultation sessions and we can go through and this and that. And the other. I'm like, no. This is absurd. I am not going to pay for that. I've worked with accountants in different countries. And if you start hearing those words about consulting fees and this and that, just go the other way. It often, unless you're a huge company, it's often not worth it for an individual, in my personal opinion, unless you have a really complicated situation. But also, you have to keep in mind that there are some firms that are specifically targeted towards expats and some service providers that are specifically targeted in that direction. Unfortunately, some of those services will come with what I might call an expat tax or the gringo tax, especially if you're coming from a part of the world where incomes are perceived to be much higher and those individuals coming from those countries are perceived to be much wealthier individuals. So you got to take this into consideration. I was lucky in the end that I found a local Portuguese accountancy firm that was able to help me get through this and no consulting fee. I've had, I don't know how many hours of calls and messages and back and forth with the firm that I went with in the end, even before making my first payment to them. That's really impressive to me when somebody is willing to take the time to give you the information, to show you their expertise, and to show you what they do, because that's also the way that I like to approach the type of work that I do. Of course, there are some types of work that you have to do that you do have to charge for. But when you're trying to help somebody on board and become a client of yours, and one of the best things, in my opinion, that you can help them to do is understand the situation so that they don't have any surprises and that they know what to expect as time goes on, not to charge them and then tell them what to expect. So that's how I partially decided who I ended up working with. I'm not at the point that I can say I can fully recommend and say this is a person or a company that you should work with, because I'm only beginning my working relationship with them anyway, practically speaking, my first month working with them. But going through the process of getting set up in Portugal has been not complicated, I would say, especially because I have gone to hire the services of professionals to help me along with this. You theoretically can do a lot of this on your own, but if you're not absolutely fluent in a language, this is something that I personally would have a difficult time to recommend to somebody. If you don't fully understand how the system works and what bracket and what this and what that and what the other, you could end up getting yourself into a situation where maybe you're going to be paying a lot more than you really should be. That's why it's important to have somebody who understands the system to be able to help you navigate it. So that's what I'm paying for. And actually, when we're talking about these services, I would say actually the prices are very fair. I'm not going to go into all the details, but you need to shop around and find out what the prices are and who's charging what for what and how that all goes. So instead of paying thousands at the end of the year for these services, I'll be paying within the hundreds for these services. Yeah, no, it's not cheap, but it's part of the expenses of actually working. And so unfortunately, yeah, this becomes necessary. And so setting up the company, like I said, not exactly complicated, but time-consuming and lengthy. The first part of the process is you have to decide whether you want to work under your name or under a company name. I decided that I would prefer to operate under a company name and have that be its own separate entity. There's various reasons for that, but somewhat jokingly, it helps to create that separation between church and state. Hopefully you get what I mean by that. So the first thing in my case was that I had to apply for the permission and approval to use the name of the company that I wanted to use, that it wasn't going to create brand confusion or this. It's a process that you have to go and apply for. So this was something that my accountant handled. And once we got that approval back from the Portuguese authorities, then it was necessary to actually go out and form the company legally. For that, I needed a lawyer. The lawyer in the end for this service of actually forming the company and submitting the documents online and making all of the arrangements, a couple hundred euros. It wasn't too horrible. It was definitely more than what I would have liked to spend. But in my opinion, again, it was worth it because it was done by somebody who knows what they're doing and knows how to do it the right way, knows how to dot all the I's and cross the T's and what check boxes have to be checked and making sure that everything is done just the right way. After going through all of these documents after the fact, even though I'm very good at these types of things, and when it comes to legal documents and legalese, like and these sorts of things, I have no problem with tooting my own horn that I'm pretty good with those things. So really, I am very glad that I was able to hand that off. And when opening up the company, you have to have social capital. How much is invested into this company? My accountant recommended, probably better, at least you have 500 as the social capital, but it really doesn't matter. You could do 10,000 if you want. I was like, I only wish I had 10,000. But he said, well, the thing is, really, you don't have to even put in an extreme amount of money. What you can do is just have 1 euro of social capital and then just pay the service fee for the Portuguese government on top of everything and just do it like that. So that's what I ended up doing in the end, just for the beginning. It was explained to me that I could up that social capital at a later date and there would be advantages to doing so. For example, if I wanted to get credit cards, loans, these kinds of things, there would be a benefit to doing that and having that be at a higher amount. But for the time being, I'm not looking for loans. I'm not looking for credit cards. I just want to get paid, and I just want to get paid legally. I want to be able to pay bills and have everything taken care of. And that was also one of the reasons why a company for me made sense, is because I do have expenses throughout the year. From the way it was explained to me and the way that I was able to figure out how things work here, it just was easier if I had that separation there and had a business entity taking care of all of those expenses rather than me personally taking care of it. There also ends up being benefits with being able to get the VAT back, the value added tax, after a certain period of time. And so there are various reasons why in the end it almost made more sense to go in the direction of opening up a company. If I'm not mistaken, with the NHR, you do have something like the 20% of what's taxed is only on X percent, maybe 80% of what you earn, or 75%. I forget off the top of my head. Again, these are not about the specific details and amounts and percentages and this and that. This is just what you might expect if you're going through something like this, that in the same way that I am. Going through and opening up the company also, I am doing this as an Italian citizen. So for me, what I also had to produce during this was my Italian documents, as well as my Portuguese residency certificate. Once I had all of that, then the lawyer was able to just submit everything. That took only a couple days. The longest part, which took a couple of weeks, because I started just before Christmas, was actually getting the approval for the name of the company. So that took a little while, and that added some extra time to this process. Then, once I had all of that taken care of, I was able to take those documents for the company, the registration of the company, and go and not open up a bank account, but apply to open up a bank account. This is something that for me is very different from what I've experienced in other countries, because even to open up a personal account here in Portugal, I had the experience that I had to apply for the account, even as someone with European citizenship. So it's interesting, like you can go through a process and even actually get denied being able to open up a bank account. And even with my personal bank account, I was first denied being able to open it because the documents that they had received, they were all of the documents that they had requested, everything exactly. But the problem was that all of the documents proving my income and everything that I had were all in Italian. So they couldn't accept those documents at their central offices for whatever reason. Fine, they don't speak Italian, but oddly enough, all of the words are almost the exact same. But I got really lucky in the end that I was working with a bank manager who was helping me to go through this and helping it to happen. And he actually spoke English. I was so grateful for that. I could have gotten through the process in Portuguese, but in the end, what he did, he was very, very sweet about this. And this I have to say about the Portuguese is something that I've been very pleasantly surprised about, is how sweet they are. I've been to Portugal before and I've spent time here before, but I somehow forgot how friendly and kind and warm and helpful that people here can really be. So in the end, what he did was he actually hand translated it and then signed his signature saying that he certifies that this is all correct information. He's like, he was sitting there with me. He's like, dude, I can read this. Like, it may not be in Portuguese, but I can read this. Maybe there's one word that we need Google Translate for, but it makes sense to me, even almost without Google Translate. I just want to double check to make sure I'm right. So in the end, he resubmitted the forms all over again. So then it was fine. I was told that if the documents had been in English, then I probably would not have had this problem. Then it probably would have been totally fine. So if you're coming from the States, so the UK, for example, you might have an easier time than what I did going through that process of opening a personal account. But opening up the corporate account, I actually found that process to be a bit easier. And even though I was treated wonderfully during the process to open up my personal account, I was treated even better with the corporate account. There's been some interesting kind of interactions that I've had that have been related to having this company and services based on that. I can say the quality of service and the attention that's been given has been a bit higher. And even going through the process of opening the bank account, they actually were much more lenient and much more easygoing. They didn't ask anything about, oh, how are you earning? Where are you earning? What? How much in this and that? Show us all the documents. They're like, no, just give us the documents that the company exists and then we'll go through the rest of the process. Don't worry about it. We're going to make it happen. It was like really ridiculously easy once I already had gone through all of the other processes to make sure. But once I had technically opened the bank account, it wasn't yet open. When you open the bank account, you first get a blocked account. To unblock the account, you need another document from the Portuguese government. I believe it's called the Inicio de Actividade, like the beginning of activity, of commercial activity. But strangely enough, to get that piece of paper, I needed the bank account. So it's kind of like I needed one to get the other. Again, if you're familiar with how things work with Italy or really a lot of Latin countries, there's a closed loop system that you have to figure out where you can insert yourself to be able to get from A to B to C to D, because to get from A to B, you need B to get A, but then to get from C to B, you need A to get C. It's always something. So once I had the documents from the bank that said I have an account with them, even though I don't have an open account with them, I was able to submit that. And then go get this beginning of activity paper document, and then send that to the bank. Once that actually started, then I had to go back to the bank again. But then to open up the account, then I had to make a sizable deposit. Not huge, like it was affordable, but thankfully it's all my money. Like I have access to it. It's not like I'm paying for it. But then here, you don't automatically get the debit card. You have to request it and pay annually. So that was something that's a bit annoying, and I'm actually still waiting for that now. I must have ordered it like a week and a couple of days ago, and it's not supposed to arrive until supposedly next week. When I was at the bank, and it was probably on a Thursday that I ordered the card, or Wednesday, something like this, and I was told that the card, it'll probably be here Monday, maximum Wednesday. It's already late in the week and it's still not here yet. But the good thing was within the app for the bank, they actually give updates of when it's supposed to be here. So according to the bank, it should be here at the beginning of next week. And so this process of fully having a bank account ready to go has been a few weeks already. So don't expect that things are going to immediately happen. It's going to take some time. Make sure if you are going to be moving to Portugal and having to open up a company here, like I said in previous episodes, make sure you have enough money to live on when you're getting to that new country, because to get legally paid and this and that and the other, yeah, you might have a little bit of a gap in between of when your activities in the other country may have finished or this or that. Like my situation, for example, was because I moved very close to the new year, it didn't make sense for me to continue my business activity in Italy this year, because then I would have to go through the process of doing a whole tax return and tax declaration for Italy for this year and only doing that for 1 month and paying an accountant to do all of that, it really didn't make sense. And then all of the other things that come along with dealing with that. So I thought it would be better that I officially stop my commercial activity in Italy last year and wait to open things up here in Portugal. I was thinking I would be done in January. I was thinking I would have been done early, mid-January. I'm almost done. Almost done. Now we're in February. And thankfully, though, the company is open and I can continue with my work activities. But dealing with the bank so far has been a little bit complicated. And the other strange thing was, at least, I don't know if this is how all banks in Portugal work or if it's just the bank that I chose to go with, but with a commercial account, you have a personal login and a corporate login, but the corporate login doesn't get activated until a little while after. I've had this account open and ready for, again, like over a week now, but that corporate login hasn't been activated yet. So I can get into the personal side, even though it's not a personal account, it's a corporate account with personal access. So don't expect for things to be straightforward when you come here and when you're making things happen. I, at some point, if there's any need to make an update on what's going on, I'll go ahead and do that. But I thought for anybody who's considering to move to Portugal and considering the NHR, but finding that maybe the NHR isn't quite the right thing for them and thinking about opening up a company, like my situation, that it might be worthwhile to hear what somebody's gone through and to hear the practical experience of it thus far. I know it's something that I've been looking for but couldn't find, so that's why I'm here today in this episode of Not Your Average Globetrotter. But I think this is maybe where I'm going to wrap things up. And so, of course, a huge, huge thank you to those of you who helped to make episodes of Not Your Average Globetrotter possible through the one-time donations, shirts, mugs, onesies, and more, as well as the support through Patreon, patreon.com/Rafael Di Furia. Or rafaeldifuria.com/patreon with that monthly support that you guys have been showing. Thank you so very much to those of you who've been sticking around to help make this project possible. It is truly appreciated. And really, it is because of you guys that I am able to continue with the efforts with this project. So thank you again. Of course, if you would like to see more content like this, be sure that you're subscribed. And if you could also give this video a like and share it with your friends, that would be greatly appreciated. Of course, that's assuming you're watching on YouTube, but of course, this is also available as an audio-only podcast. So if you are the type that enjoys that, be sure to go check it out, Not Your Average Globetrotter, and you can find it on all of the major podcasting platforms out there. Anyway, thank you all so much again for joining me for another episode of Not Your Average Globetrotter. I'm Rafael Di Furia. Stay safe and healthy out there, and I'll see y'all next time. Later.